Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dilan Jaisingh. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm going to bring God's word to us. Before we do that, let's ask God to help us to understand and put these words into practice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We are so thankful for your faithfulness, your generosity. And this morning, we are so thankful that we can be here. Not just to sing songs, but also, Lord, to submit ourselves under your word. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that through your Spirit, may you work in our hearts, our minds, our souls. And Lord, give us the strength to live lives that will bring honor to you. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a few months ago, we had an election and we elected the government. And last week, if you were paying attention to what's happening in the world of politics, we had the first sitting of the 46th Parliament. And as the ministers come in to the parliament, what is the chief or the most important commitment that they make into the parliament? You may have not noticed, but one of the first things that ministers do before they take their seats is they take an oath or an affirmation of their allegiance to the Queen. They would say something like, "I swear that I'll be faithful." Got a picture somewhere here, if I can get that first. There you go. They swear something like this: "I swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, her heirs and successors according to law. So help me God." And it's like when everything is stripped off, this is the cardinal, the most important, the chief commitment they should stand by as they carry out their duties. Everything else that they do in the parliament kind of flows from this commitment, from this affirmation, this oath that they take. Now, as we think through about Christians, what is the greatest duty? What is the greatest commitment that a person should make? So we didn't have the Bible reading this morning, but if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. We're going to look at this question. What is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest duty of a person? Now, as you look at that passage, you will notice there is this expert in the law approached Jesus, and he asks a very good question, doesn't he? He asks a very good question. A question that we all should ask. Have a look at verse 28. And he asks, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important one?" Of all the commandments, which is the most important one? Now, as you see, he was an expert in the law. So he would be able to tell you and me that in all of the Torah, which is the Old Testament law books, there are 613 commandments. And out of the 613 commandments, there were 248 do's and there were 365 don'ts. He would have been involved in fierce debates on which ones were the more weighty ones and which ones were less weighty. Like which ones would carry the death penalty and which ones don't carry the death penalty. And these commandments were like bread and butter for this man who came to Jesus and asked, "Jesus, Which is the most important one of all these? So in effect, this man was asking, when I strip all the 613 commandments off, what should drive me? What should be the one thing that I must be doing? What is the most important one? And that is a good question, isn't it? It is a good question because like the Pharisees, we end up getting so worked up in minor commandments, minor details of God's law, and ignore the most significant ones. We major on the minors and we minor on the major ones. If you will remember in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, right? He said, you know what? You guys, you strain gnats. You know, the small fruit flies. You kind of take a strainer and you strain gnats. But in the process of doing that, you swallow camels. In other words, they were in danger of ignoring the major, the important commands of God while trying to keep the secondary ones. Now asking questions is how we learn, isn't it? If you have been around little ones, toddlers, you will know that they ask questions. Lot of questions. If you say, don't touch that, they'll ask why. And you say, like, it's hot. And why is it hot? Because there's fire in it. Why is there fire in it? I mean, somebody lit the fire. How did they light the fire? With a matchbox. So how did the matchbox come? How did the matchstick was built? Why? And that's sometimes annoying, isn't it? But that's how they grow. That's how they learn. And when you stop asking questions, you stop growing. So it is good to ask questions. So let me ask you this morning. Are you asking questions? If you're not a believer, we invite you to ask questions. Don't blindly follow Jesus or Christianity. Ask questions. Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? Why only him? Your questions matter. And if you're a believer, let me ask you this morning. Have you stopped asking questions? Have you stopped exploring? Have you stopped studying? Have you stopped becoming engrossed and exploring new things about God which is in the Bible? And as you serve, as you work, as you study, as you start relationships, when you kind of have to spend time with someone that you don't really like, when we make decisions, do you ask the question? What is the most important thing that God wants me to do? Am I showing love to God in my actions? Will this thing that I'm going to do, is it going to help me to love God? Now, how does Jesus answer this good question? How did Jesus answer this good question? Jesus could have gone straight from verse 28 to verse 31, right? He could have just gone to verse 30 instead. Because that's the straight point, isn't it? Okay? He could have said the most important command is to love God, verse 30. But he doesn't. Instead, what does he do? Before telling them that the most important commandment is to love God, he tells them why should they love God. The reason why they should love God is because we have a great God. We have a great God. And notice Jesus doesn't tell them you should love God because all the blessings that he has poured out on you. Because it is easy, isn't it, for someone to love another person because all the things they do to them, all the things they get. And sadly, that's what some people do with God. We love God because we get things from God. We get favors from God, and we ignore God when we don't get what we want from God. And Jesus says, no, the most important thing is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Now Jesus is referring to, if you know your Bibles, this Old Testament passage in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is called Shema. Shema is another word, hear. Listen, hear. And as the people of Israel, who were slaves in Egypt for 400 years, as they had come through the wilderness and they were about to enter the promised land, these were the words that God himself told the people of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Now the word hear. Here is much more than just listening. It is to pay careful attention. Listen carefully. Call to mind. Remember, there's something important. It calls a person to stop in their tracks and listen. Take time to get to know this thing. In this sense, in this case, take time to know this God. Now, who is this God? Who is this God? In this verse, we are told four things about this God, isn't it? The first thing is, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. The word Lord here in Hebrew is Yahweh, the name that God gave to himself, and he revealed himself as Yahweh to the people of Israel, the personal name of God. There were so many gods in Egypt as they were serving as slaves. And there were so many gods in the surrounding nations, and God says, no, you should worship me alone. Don't confuse me with other gods of the nations. Yahweh, the Lord, is your God. And the second thing is, he is God. Elohim is the word used here. This is the word that talks about God as the all-powerful, sovereign, eternally existing, all-knowing, and all-powerful, all-loving. This God who is everywhere, anytime. He is this powerful, sovereign God. Now, friends, I've just scratch the surface of who God is in those few words. We could be here many days exploring, because you know our God is eternal, isn't he? Which means the attributes of God are eternal. We could be finding something new every day of our life, and we will not exhaust the attributes of God. And the third thing is, he is our God. He is our God. He's a God who has a personal relationship with us. He's the God who made a covenant, an agreement with the people of Israel. He's the God who has made a covenant with us today. How did he make that covenant? Through Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And finally, it says, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. We don't worship two or three gods. There's no other gods beside him. He's the only God, only true God, no one to compare to him. And we shouldn't worship Yahweh along with any other gods, because he stands alone. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. In a sense, what Jesus is saying is, friends, we must get to know this God before we love Him. It's like, you know, it's like a guy and a girl trying to get to know each other before they say, I do. You know, like they, you follow them, you ask questions, you talk to their friends, you follow their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagram account. You might even hire a personal investigator to check details on them, because you want to get to know them. The more you get to know them, the more you love them. And the same thing with God. The more you get to know Him, the more you will love Him. The more you will love Him passionately. The more you love Him truly. So before loving this God, get to know Him. Get to know Him. But how do we know this God? How do we get to know this God? We can get to know this God through creation. In Psalm 19, the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of His hand. We can know this God through Jesus, isn't it? We know Him through Jesus. And the book of Hebrews says, like in the past, in many ways, God spoke to us through prophets and in many other ways. But in the last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus. Do you want to know God? Know Jesus. We get to know Him through personal experiences, isn't it? We get to know Him through, when we look at the history, what God has done, because He has revealed Himself in the history. We get to know Him through His Word as well, don't we? He reveals Himself, who He is, His character, His qualities in the Word of God. You see, God is not hiding, friends. He's a God who reveals. So let me ask you this morning. Are you taking time to know God? If you're not a Christian, are you taking time to hear? Are you stopping? Are you taking time to know the God of the Bible? Have you considered the marvelous creation, how everything came to be, and how everything operates, how everything kind of works together? Have you considered that? Have you considered the events of the history? Have you considered the testimony of people whose lives have been transformed? Have you taken time to know Jesus? Have you taken time to read the Bible? And if you are a believer, has your knowledge of God increased over the past year? What are some new things you have learned about God in the past few weeks, perhaps? How is your Bible study going? What can you do this week to get to know God better? See, friends, we have a great God. And this great God doesn't expect us to bring great sacrifices. He doesn't look for great acts of service. He doesn't look for our great singing. He doesn't look for us to bring a great offering of a lot of money. He doesn't want us to do these great rituals when we come to church. No, this great God demands great love. This great God demands great love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. First, notice, he doesn't want us to know some God somewhere in the sky. He doesn't want us to know his God or her God or their God or the God of our fathers. No, he wants us to know, he wants us to love the Lord your God. We need to make him our God. We need to be in a personal relationship with this God in order to love him. And how do we have a personal relationship with this God? We have a personal relationship with God by trusting in Jesus, what he has done on the cross. And then notice the extent of this love. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. See, God demands that we love him with all we are and with all we have. Because when God loves, friends, he loves the whole world. Listen. He loves us eternally. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us wholeheartedly, 100%. He did not even spare his own son. No, he gave him up for us. So what Jesus is saying is, you know what? God's wholehearted love must not be answered in a half-hearted manner. It must be total. It must be complete. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not a bit of heart, not a bit of mind, and all of the strength. No. This is all in love. Heart is the hub of a man's existence, isn't it? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. Jesus said, you know what? All the evil thoughts, the sexual immorality, the false testimony, slander, murder, all those evil thoughts come from your heart. And the problem with some of the religious leaders of Jesus' day was they were so religious. Their love for God was more outward. But in their hearts, they were far from God. They became very legalistic and they didn't love God. And if we are not careful, friends, we could end up being just like that. Could come to church, they tick all the boxes every day, but then there is no love for God in our heart. So it is important that our hearts love God. Because when we love our hearts, friends, not only our behavior, but the words that we speak will be the evidence. There's passion in our love. When you love from heart, when we love God with all our hearts, we love him exclusively. We love him passionately. Soul is also called the spirit. It is this inner being, isn't it? Soul is the part of us that defines who we are. Our personality, our identity. It is where we make our decisions and choices and ultimately we decide our lifestyle and behavior. To love the Lord with all our soul means to love him in a way that we live. The choices that we make and the behavior and the lifestyle we adopt will reflect love for God. Loving God with all our mind is to love with all our understanding, with all our intellect. We must dedicate our mind to know God, as we've said earlier. Thinking clearly and thinking also correctly. Because we can have all sorts of ideas about God which are not true. That's why we need to study the Bible. We need to bring all our thoughts and ideas, what we hear, and strain it through the Bible. We love God with all our mind when we make decisions to obey His every command. And then loving God with our strength. Strength refers to all our abilities, our talents, gifts, and physical powers. Using our resources to love God. To show love in action. We must use our strength to protect our love, fight for our love for God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, didn't he? We must use our strength to persevere in our love for God, even when circumstances are not going well. Now you will probably realize it is hard, isn't it, to kind of separate heart and mind and soul and strength, because they all kind of feed into each other, don't they? And if you're finding it hard, and that's exactly what Jesus wants us to understand. We can't fully love God if we don't love Him with our whole being, our heart, soul, mind and strength. It is all in love. The great God demands great love from us. So let me ask you in closing, how are you loving God today? I don't know about you, but if I'm honest, I'm not doing too well. I'm not doing too well in loving God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, with my strength. Man, it is hard, isn't it? And if you're honest, you may find the same. Often our hearts are divided. Often our behavior doesn't show our love for God. Often our minds don't want to love God. No, we love other things. Our minds don't want to obey God. And often we use our energies to not love God. Our energies we use to love the created things rather than the Creator. I mean, that's why part of loving God is to come to God honestly and say, God, I'm sorry. I think that's why Jesus included asking forgiveness as part of the Lord's Prayer for every day. We need to ask forgiveness from God every day. And that doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we don't do what the Word says. We do, but we do that with God's strength. Which means while we are asking forgiveness from God, we also need to ask God to fill our hearts with His love. That He would transform our minds. That He would fill our soul with His Spirit. That He would give us His strength for each day to love Him. And friends, we must ask God to help us each day to love Him more, to love Him better. And to love Him more, to love Him better, then we must know Him more and know Him better. Are you struggling to love Him? Check whether you are growing, whether you are getting to know God anymore. Perhaps you have stopped getting to know God. Perhaps you have stopped understanding who God is, and you kind of hit the ceiling and you said, I'm not learning anymore. And friends, your love for God will just stay there. If you want to love Him more, get to know Him more, ask questions, read the Bible, go to a Bible study group, spend time and listen to sermons and grow in your understanding of God. The more you and I grow in our understanding of God, the more we will have the desire to love Him, the more we will have the ability, the strength to love Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for reminding us of who You are. Because Father, when we don't know who You are and when we try to love You, we are loving an idol, something that we don't know. And Father, we pray today, help us to know You more, that we can love You more. Father, we ask forgiveness for the times that we have failed to love You with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Forgive us, Father. Lord, as the psalmist says, Lord, if you search our hearts, You will know how wicked they are, that there is little love for You in our hearts, in our mind, in our souls. And so, Father, we pray this morning, please forgive us and refresh our mind, renew our hearts, help us to recognize the strength that You give is to love You. So, Father, we pray today, the days to come, our love for You will grow. And we ask this, Father, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.